Of course, I said when you could turn in your Bibles if you brought one. Well, there's one right there in front of you, I'm sure. So we encourage you to follow along. And you can go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 11th through the 13th verses. And we'll get into that in just a moment. As you remember, we're kind of in a series, just kind of pick and choose, dealing with questions that Christians are asking. And again, the first week we talked about the fact, caution, only one way. Jesus is the only way to God. Then last week, we talked about the fact of being sure of your salvation. And today we want to talk about, yes, we can win. Yes, we can win. Now, you've probably heard this illustration, but it fits. And therefore, I chose to use it anyway. But you probably heard about the young pastor. He was ministering at really his first church, and he was kind of scrimping and saving and trying to make sure that he could make ends meet. And so suddenly one day he picked up a receipt, and it said that his wife had spent $250 on a dress. And so he said to her, he said, "How in the world could you do this, knowing how short of money we are?" And she said, "Well, you know, I went downtown, and I was kind of walking around and, you know, gazing in the store windows, and suddenly I stopped at this one window, and there was this beautiful dress. And I just stood there, and I was looking at it, and suddenly I found myself inside. And then I found myself taking and feeling the material and kind of spreading it out to look at it. And next I found myself in the dressing room, and I was trying it on. And it was though the devil was saying to me, 'That dress looks fabulous on you. You ought to buy it.'" And the young pastor said, "Honey, you know how we handle that kind of temptation. We say, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" She said, I did. And he said, "It looks fabulous back here, too." I mean, temptation is all too real, is it not? I mean, temptation is all too real. I mean, all you have to do is go back. I mean, it started back in the Garden of Eden, didn't it? The Garden of Eden, and you could talk to Adam and Eve if you could. Or you could go and you could talk to David. Or you could talk to Solomon. And they would all tell you that indeed temptation is real. And I think that all of us, every one of us here today, have found out that that's the case, isn't it? And we found that all too often we have given in to temptation. So how do we deal with that? How do we deal with temptation? And what I mean is not giving in to it, but overcoming it. And yes, we can win. We can overcome temptation. And, you know, God wants us to know that. And more than know it, he wants us to, you know, believe that it's true. And so we can overcome temptation, and I know what you're thinking. You're stating it so matter-of-factly, Tom. Have you overcome temptation? I mean, have you achieved that? No, I'm a work in progress just like you are. 1 Corinthians 10th chapter, the 11th through the 13th verses says, "These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." So the first point I want you to look at this morning is the fact that temptation is real. It's real. James 1:13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." Now, I want you to notice there, James doesn't say if tempted, does he? He says, when tempted. I mean, we all face it. We all face temptation, and all too often we give in to the sin, but we all face it. John Wright, or White wrote this. He said, you will be tempted. The kinds of temptations may change. Candies for kids, sensuality for the young, riches for the middle age, and power for the aging. You will be tempted continuously. You will be tempted ferociously at times of crisis. As long as you live, you will be tempted. Now, that's kind of depressing, isn't it? I mean, you finally fight through one, or maybe you've given in to one, and you go to God and you ask for forgiveness, and you're thinking, well, now I've achieved it. I ought to be able to handle this. And then you find you get right back into it. Another temptation comes along. And just because we're Christians now certainly doesn't mean that we're no longer going to be plagued by temptation, because we will be. I think we've learned that lesson. But remember, what we're going through, others are probably going through something very similar. I mean, we're not alone. They're strength in company, I guess, if you want to use that statement. I mean, others are going through similar temptations. Someone around you might be struggling again with the very same pressures, and we're going to talk more about this in a little bit. The Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual battle, aren't we? I mean, Satan is battling us. I mean, he's doing everything that he possibly can. The Bible tells us that we're in this spiritual battle, and we're up against it. I mean, we're up against it, but the great thing is we have God, don't we, on our side. And so every one of us, even though others around us may not appear to be going through and suffering from temptation, believe me, they are. But something else we need to remember here as we look about the thought of overcoming temptation is that temptation is not a sin. Temptation's not a sin in and of itself, is it? I mean, you remember that even Jesus was tempted. I mean, after his baptism, he went into the wilderness, and then Satan tempted him. Then when later on we find that after that temptation, it says he left him for a season or a short time. And in fact, Hebrews 4:15 says about Jesus, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. So again, temptation is not a sin, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to sin. James 1:14-15 says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. I mean, we've got to decide. We've got to decide whether we're going to accept the temptation or whether we're going to decline it, whether we're going to follow through or whether we're going to say no and turn our backs on it. So we understand, don't we, that temptation is a reality. And we understand that it's not peculiar to each one of us. It's a lifelong battle. And so if that's the case, then how do we overcome this battle? How do we overcome this beast? And folks, I feel like it is a beast. I don't know whether you do, but it's constantly attacking. But before we really get into the thought of overcoming, let's kind of recognize the, temptation lies. First of all, the first one is, it couldn't happen to me. It couldn't happen to me. And we can think a lot of things that are going on that we know that are happening in people's lives. Well, that could never happen to me. That just would not be possible. I mean, we think that we're so strong and we can take it. We wouldn't give in. And we don't take the proper precautions, and very soon we find ourselves ensnared. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says what? So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You know, you see all the time about accidents, people who have flown planes for, you know, years upon years upon years, and then suddenly they crash. And oftentimes what some of the factors are, first of all, they didn't do their pre-flight. They didn't go around and check it all. And then secondly, they may, because they thought they had it all down pat, make a mental error and crash. I mean, you see that in workshops. I mean, in people handling heavy equipment. All you got to do is make one little mistake or forget one little thing, don't you? And it becomes a disaster. And so we need to understand that we need to be careful. I mean, we need to be on our guard. That's what being careful is all about here. Again, folks, we all know from our previous encounters with temptation that we are not strong enough in and of ourselves to win this battle, are we? I mean, if we were, we'd already won it. But we're still all going through it. The Message Bible puts that 12th verse this way. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. He's saying, don't play with temptation. Don't play with it. It'll suck you in, and it'll take over your life quicker than you can begin to even imagine. And suddenly you're into it before, you know, and you don't know it before it's too late. I'll never forget when I was in my 20s, I was home visiting some childhood friends. I mean, guys, I had grown from the time that we started the first grade on up to graduating from high school. And we went out and we were doing some things, and they said to me, they said, let's go back to the house. So we went back to the house, and they said, you know, we're going to get you to try marijuana. And I said, no, you're not. You know, I have no desire to try marijuana. You know, I said, I feel pretty good as it is. I don't need that. And they said, look, Tom, it's not a gateway drug. I mean, it's not habit forming. You don't need to worry about that. I said, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to do it. So I left town and I called back down to talk to this friend one day, and I said, you know, what's John doing? Well, he's in jail. And I said, what's he doing in jail? Well, he got into some hard drugs. And so understanding that one thing leads to another, doesn't it? And you've got to be so careful. I mean, folks, it can happen to me. It can happen to you. I mean, it can happen to anyone. The second lie is, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that this, you ever get that poor me attitude? I'm the only one that who's going through this kind of thing. I just don't understand. And the temptation is that when you feel like that is to just go ahead and give in. Just go ahead and give in. That's what you're thinking. I mean, because you're feeling so bad, you feel, you know, I just can't stand it. And while giving in to the temptation, we refuse to talk to anyone. I mean, no one else would understand, since they aren't facing what I'm going through. But Paul says you're wrong. In 1 Corinthians 10, the 13th verse, the very first part says, what? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Again, you're not alone. And so, as you can see, there's no excuse, because these same things have others are being tempted by, and people have been tempted by from the beginning of time. Again, Adam and Eve in the garden, the very first two individuals, they were tempted and they fell. And so it's the same thing. We see temptations of pride and envy and covetousness and lust and power, fear, revenge. I mean, all of these, and there are many more that we're tempted with. And so we're not an exception. And we only use that as an excuse to continue without seeking help. The third one is, I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. I mean, the temptation was just too strong for me. I couldn't stop. I mean, again, that sounds like a good excuse, but to be blunt, it's a lie, isn't it? It's a lie. I mean, we're only fooling ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:13b, the last part of that verse says, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." Now, remember now, God is not the one doing the tempting, is he? God's not doing the tempting. In fact, James 1:13 says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone." And again, that verse in 10:13, 1 Corinthians says that God will provide a way out. And so when you're tempted, you look for the way out. You should look for the way out, and when you see how to escape from it, get away from it. Martin Luther said, "We can't stop birds from flying over our heads, but we can prevent them from making a nest in our hair." And so when we're tempted, folks, we always have a choice, don't we? We always have a choice. And God provides a means of escape at the very outset of the temptation. That's the best time to escape, is it not? The best time to escape is when that temptation comes along. Because when you start getting involved in it sometimes, then it becomes a little more difficult. You sometimes, I mean, let's be honest. There are some temptations that are kind of appealing. I mean, if they weren't, why in the world would you do them? You know, I mean, it's like eating food. I mean, there's some food I'm just not going to eat. I don't know about you. And there is nothing you could do to tempt me to eat that. And the same thing ought to be when we look at and understand that temptation, there's nothing good for us. It may look appealing. The old adage, you know, all of Satan's apples have worms. But the apples always look good, don't they? They always look good from the outside until you get into it. And so when we're tempted, look for a way out. Don't give up. And makes no difference what the temptation is. We are facing God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can endure, and God will provide a way of escape. Now remember here, the temptation is not based upon how much we think we can endure, but on how much God knows that we can handle. All right? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Someone said, "The faithfulness of God guarantees that no superhuman temptation will enter the life of any believer, and that each believer's temptations will be commensurate with his own ability to endure them." So don't ever say, "I was overcome by temptation. It was more than I could stand." So God is a faithful Father who will never allow us to be tempted, never allow temptation into our lives that is so powerful that we don't have the ability to get out of it, to say no, or that he can't help us with. I mean, the scripture says what? He will never leave us or forsake us, right? Isn't that what he says? And so those are some of the lies, but how do we overcome, you know, temptation? First of all, resist it. Resist it. I mean, a lot of people get lured in to trying a drug, you know, just one drug. I mean, I feel sorry for young people today. I mean, I didn't have this problem when I was, in high school. Did you? I mean, but today, there all these temptations and all this peer pressure that is being put on children. And so you try a drug and suddenly you're hooked or you're dead. Just one drink of an alcohol. Now you say, well, are you condemning drinking? Well, I believe a lot of reasons why not to drink, okay? Coming from a family of two alcoholics, a brother and a sister, I can tell you the devastation. And so I would never try it simply thinking that there's a possibility that I might have a compulsive personality and find it, you know, tasting good or finding myself addicted to it. And so again, you know, as Nancy Reagan said, just say no. Learn to say no. I mean, we don't give in to every salesman who tries to sell us something, do we? Or at least I hope you don't. I mean, I hope you're not one of those people that order everything that you see. Or you don't buy or order all those things that come across your Facebook pages, do you? Well, neither should we give in to temptation just because it's there before us. Dr. R.A. Torrey said, "The reason why many fail in the battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came. Anticipate your battles. Fight them on your knees before temptation comes, and you will always have victory." James wrote in James 4, 7 and 8, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." Mark Twain said, "There are several good protections against temptation, but the surest is cowardice." Now, I don't know whether that's the greatest word, but I think from that's kind of the idea of fleeing, isn't it? Of getting away from it. I mean, after Jesus had said no to Satan, you know, the temptations in the wilderness again, and you remember those temptations. I mean, turn these bread in, or these stones into bread, man. And what'd he say? Scripture says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Scripture says, don't test the Lord your God. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all of this. Scripture says, worship God and him only. And so we see here that Jesus wouldn't give in. Jesus handled the attack. You say, but I'm not Jesus. You know, I'm not God. Now understand, Jesus was in the flesh, wasn't he? I mean, we see him later in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, "Let this cup pass from me." Again, we find it pouring out of him that, you know, the human part of him crying to God. But we understand here, again, that he left him, but only for a short time. And therefore, like Jesus, we should not give in to Satan's attacks. Instead, like Jesus, we need to resist them and defeat them. Secondly, ask God for help. You know, we got emergency buttons for everything today, don't we? Susan came to me, and I don't understand anything about technology, okay? But she came to me, and she says, my phone is locked up. Well, I said, give it here. Let me try it, you know? So I started pushing all kinds of buttons, and suddenly the phone rang, and I answered the phone. It was 911 operator wanting to know, you know, if I had a problem, and I had to apologize, hoping she wasn't going to send anybody to my house. But you've got, what is it in the cars that if you got a problem, you push a button and they know right where you are and they talk to you? Or at our homes, you know, older people, like us. You want to make sure that if they're home alone, they are taken care of. So they have those little things that hang around their necks. And if they get into a difficult situation, they just push the button. And someone comes, someone answers. Well, folks, we have that, don't we? We have a 24-hour day, 7 day, a week, 24 months or 12 months, and you can go on down and list it. We have God, and we can call an emergency number. We can cry out to God, and no operator is going to screen our calls. I mean, they go to God, and we can ask for His assistance. I mean, these calls are normally cries for help, aren't they? And Rick Warren described these types of calls as microwave prayers because they are quick and they're to the point. Well, thirdly, the Bible promises our cry will be heard because Jesus understands, what we're going through. Hebrews 4:15 through 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Folks, God is patient with us, isn't he? I mean, he doesn't care if we cry out 100 times a day for help. He wants us to cry out to him. And we can ask him for the power to do what is right and to refuse to do that which is wrong. I mean, the scripture says what? He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He's always there. Well, fourthly, recognize what areas of temptations you're vulnerable in. I remember growing up, and my mom and them would say to me, they'd say, when I go out with a girl on a date, don't be getting in the back seat. You don't put yourself in a temptation or in a situation where you were tempted. And folks, every one of us know what temptations we're weak to, don't we? I mean, sure, there may be new ones that come along, but all of us know what we're vulnerable to. And these areas may be unique to you. But again, for most part, you know what they are. And be guaranteed that Satan knows what they are. He knows what they are. And he will seek to use those against you. And he'll try to make that and be a crevice that he can get into your life and he can begin to wreck it. So identify those areas, prepare to avoid them. Get away from them. I mean, when you see yourself getting in a situation, again, what did we say earlier? Normally the way out is first, isn't it? Don't allow yourself to be trapped by going here or there when you know you shouldn't. It's time to avoid them, to get out. And this, folks, may mean the ending of friendships. Okay? May mean the ending of friendship. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." All right? Peer pressure happens to adults just like it does kids, doesn't it? I mean, it can draw you in. I mean, just like kryptonite was the weakening force with Superman, whatever the one or two or three or four, whatever the temptations are that you're normally weak to, I mean, you become weak. And the tendency is to possibly give in. So know what they are and get away from them. Don't allow yourself to get into those situations. Fifthly, memorize Scripture. I mean, you remember what Paul said in Romans 12:2? He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And what better way to renew your mind than to empty it of the things of the world, you know, and the temptations that are out there, and instead fill them with God's word. Again, remember, Jesus quoted every time a scripture, didn't he? I mean, he used it. For us to do this means that we must feast upon the Word of God. We must spend time with the Lord. We need to build up our defenses. Folks, the Holy Spirit can't call or bring to remembrance what you don't have there. Right? I mean, it just doesn't come out of the air. It's the old computer lingo, you know, garbage in, garbage out. All that you've got is the garbage of the world in, and there's no scripture there, there's nothing good there, then you're going to be defeated. Someone said, if you don't have the Bible memorized or some of the Bible memorized, then you don't have any bullets in your gun. I mean, you just don't have any strength. Dwight L. Moody said, sin will keep you from the book, or the book will keep you from sin. So arm yourself with God's word and prepare for battle. I mean, we right here have the sword of truth, don't we? Isn't that the way we're supposed to go into battle? We're supposed to have the breastplate of righteousness. So, you know, when things hit us, it not only kind of bounces the darts off, but it extinguishes the darts, you know, of what Satan is trying to do to us. And so memorize Scripture, read Scripture, pray continuously with God, and seek His favor. So arm yourself. Arm yourself with God's word and prepare for battle. Now, here's a difficult one. Reveal your struggle to a godly friend or support group. I mean, if you feel like you're losing the battle and you need someone to come and along, a personal, you know, it's like that little kid and where, you know, kept crying out for the mother to come to him, and the mother said, you know, hon, God is with you. Yes, but I want someone with flesh on. And sometimes, even though we know God is with us, we know sometimes that we need someone to come alongside of us, don't we? I mean, isn't that what the body of Christ is all about? To come alongside each other, to encourage each other, to build each other, and at times admonish each other. You know, to point out the things that we're doing wrong. And so if you're losing the battle, then you need to seek the guidance of someone that you can trust. Someone who is godly. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Folks, by hiding or ignoring your problem, your temptation, doesn't solve it, does it? It doesn't solve it to bury it. It only tends to get worse. And so, this is a difficult one. And so if you don't have a godly friend, or you don't have someone that you really feel that you could trust, or maybe, you know, they don't fully understand, you know, Jesus went through everything. What does it say? He was able to empathize with us. And so maybe you need someone who can empathize with your difficulty, and maybe what that is a support group. Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, in the faith, we have churches that have what they call celebrate recovery. And that's the idea, again, of being able to bounce it off of people who are going through it or have gone through it and have come out the other side, and so they're able to empathize with you. But again, we need support. And if we don't have someone that we can talk to, we sometimes find that we lose the ability to fight the battle. I mean, in essence, what I'm saying here is do whatever it takes to win this battle. Well, seventh is think of the consequences of the sin. Think of the consequences of the sin. I mean, we normally don't do this until it's too late. I mean, when it's already happened and it's already affecting not only ourselves, but it's affecting people we love and people around us. Understand that these things can destroy your health and your family and your relationship with God. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." A man reaps what he sows. And so, remember, growing up and doing things that we shouldn't do, you know, and things that we shouldn't watch, our mothers would tell us, look, you know, stop doing that. You know, don't do that. Get away from that. And I think that God is saying the same thing to us. Understand here. Understand as you look at it, God, it says, will cannot be mocked. A man will reap what he sows. I mean, remember, folks, there is not a place where you can go. There's not a place that you can hide. There's not a thought that you can have that God doesn't know it. And something else I want you to understand, you know, some people say, you know, I'm only hurting myself. And as I said, you can hurt your family. But understand, when we sin, we hurt God, don't we? We hurt God. And so we need to think about the consequences of our sin. And hopefully that will be a deterrent. Hopefully that'll be that which causes us to say, you know, I've got to stop this. I can't do this. I've got to turn it over to God. I've got to escape while I can. And so again, temptation's not a sin, but giving into it is. And so the question is, with all of us, do we want to win this battle over temptation? Do we want to feel better about ourselves? And then we need to ask God for help. We need to study the scripture and memorize some. And then we need to seek a godly friend to talk with. And we need to choose our friends wisely. Stay away from tempting situations. We used the hymn book this morning. I'm not sure this hymn is even in the book. But one we used to sing years ago, "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight valiantly onward, evil passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. You can't do it on your own." I mean, if you want to overcome temptation, if you want to live the life that God wants you to live and way he wants me to live, then, folks, we've got to do it this way. We've got to do it this way and know that God cares. But again, let me kind of say again, when you are tempted, the moment you are tempted, you know the way out. Choose the way out. Choose the way out. If you're here this morning, and as we've said last week, the beginning is making sure you're right with God. That's the way you have assurance of your salvation. And so, if you're here this morning and you're outside the body of Christ, make a decision to give your life to him. Or maybe you're here and you're an immersed believer and you have not placed your fellowship. Come and place your fellowship here with us and with this congregation as we go forward. But let's all strive to overcome the wiles of the devil, overcome temptation. Let's do that as we stand and sing.